dementia, which is a broad brush term for loss of memory and then loss of other functions, that's increasing, not decreasing. More than 7 million people ages 65 or older had dementia in 2020. That's in the United States alone. More than 9 million Americans by 2030 and 12 million by 2040. Many of us are going to be among those. Many more of us are going to be the children of those who are suffering with dementia. It has come to your people, to God's people. And we need to know, what does God's word say to those of us who are dealing with this? What is the value of someone who can't remember their own name anymore? It's time for God's people to pay attention.
This is The Deep Well with Erin Davis. I'm Dana Gresh. Those are some sobering stats, but they may be more than numbers to you. Maybe you have a parent or grandparent with dementia, or you are getting older and facing the possibility of the disease yourself. Sadly, the question of the meaning of life at the end of life isn't often discussed. We hear a lot about abortion and choosing life for babies, and that is good and important. But after men and women live full and fruitful lives, they often reach a season of life where they're not able to do much or anything for themselves. And they're just as valuable as an unborn baby is. This season of The Deep Well is called Tippi's Teaching Me. Tippi Duncan has been a mentor to both Erin and me. She's also been a faithful friend to Erin's mom, even through an extremely difficult season of life.
Tippi, our lives have really intersected in a new way around this disease as my own sweet mama, who's been a dear friend of yours for a really long time, has been diagnosed with early onset Alzheimer's. And you've been a part of walking that journey with us. Although I've come to you often with my own thoughts and feelings about it, I don't know that I've ever asked you what it's been like for you to watch a dear friend of yours struggle and deteriorate. So when you think of my mom and the battle she's in right now with Alzheimer's, what comes to mind for you?
Sadness. But I've also accepted it. It took a while. When she first started to change, I knew something was wrong, but I didn't know what it was.
Yeah.
You know, she was acting very different than she always does. So it's just sad. Your mother is so gifted.
In her 50s, she decided to learn a new hobby. She painted like she was running out of time. She was running out of time. I don't think she knew that. Now I'm so grateful for the gift of her artwork. She served in kids' ministry. She served in women's ministry. Her husband, my stepdad, is an elder and has been for a very long time. She taught Sunday school. She's gone on mission trips. She took kids that parents couldn't go to camp with them. She took them to camp. I mean, just one of those women.
How old is she now, Erin?
She just turned 68. So still really young for the kinds of things that she's facing. And I can look back and see that in her late 50s, early 60s, some of the personality changes were happening. But it's been really hard to watch because people think of dementia as being forgetful. And that's been part of it.
But it's been more than that.
It's been so much more than that. And the personality changes have been really significant. She went from a woman who, when I was a kid, people would come up to me in the grocery store and be like, "Is your mom always like that?" Which I thought was a weird question.
Because she's so happy.
Yeah. That was not an act. It wasn't fake. That was really who she was, and that's not who she is while she's in the grips of this disease. She's agitated. She's fearful. She can be angry. She can be hurtful. And that's not the Jenny or mom that we've always known.
Right. No, it isn't.
She's been in a memory care facility for about 6 months, and that is something that everybody thinks I won't have to do that. I'm not going to put my person in a home.
Yeah.
And for us, that became the best and hardest choice.
I visit her now it's Wednesday and Friday. In the beginning, it was one Monday and Friday. It's just been painful to watch. But since I had already watched my mother, it was easier because she's not my mother. Right. She's my friend.
Yeah.
And so I wasn't surprised at things. Mm-hmm. You know, I felt more prepared. And I got over being so sad and just accepting this is what it is, and we're just walking this together.
You've been so faithful to our family, and you're talking about it like, oh, it's no big deal. I go twice a week. But it's a big deal to me. Mm-hmm. And she's had wonderful friends. There have also been people that as the disease progressed and as she got harder to deal with, because that's what the disease does, and I'm not being dishonoring of her. It's the disease that makes those decisions. She's not difficult. It's a difficult disease. She's not. I tell myself all the time, she's not giving me a hard time. She's having a hard time.
Right.
But there have also been people who have fallen away because it's difficult to deal with, and you have just stayed in. I'm going to press you again. Why? What's given you the fortitude to continue to invest in that friendship when she can't give back?
Oh, because we have so much fun.
Tiffy can sit by you. Tiffy's been making us laugh with weird noises all week. How's that?
She likes that noise.
Is that good? Here, Mama, you want your blanket?
Your hair looks beautiful, Jenny.
Doesn't she look nice?
Yes. You got some new shoes.
Those are birthday shoes.
Now, we can't do the things we used to do. When I first started picking her up at home, we just sang songs. How about I love you, a bushel and a peck, a bushel and a peck, and a hug around the neck, a hug around the neck,
and
a barrel in a heap, a barrel in a heap, and I'm talking in my sleep about you. And then when she stopped singing with me, I was so sad. So now I just sing to her. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Amen.
Mama, does Jesus love you? He does.
He does. That's the first time she's sung.
Yeah,
she's, long time.
She was working on it.
I love you. You love me too, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think she knows my name anymore.
Erin, does your mom know who you are?
No, she hasn't. Well, I don't know. She doesn't know my name. She hasn't known my name for a long time.
Yeah.
She does on occasion, still, every once in a while, she'll pop out of wherever she is in her mind and she'll look me in the eye and she'll either say, I love you or you're so pretty. Uh-huh. And then she kind of goes back into that state. But that's been a real source of grief, like for me as a mother, to think about a day when I wouldn't know my own children is so heartbreaking. Mm. And I was so angry at her when she first got sick. Mm-hmm. It was like, get it together, woman, because she couldn't remember anything. And
was this before you had a diagnosis?
It was before we had a diagnosis, but we had a hunch that something was going on. But also, a lot of us responded that way. I think you responded that way with your own
mother. I did.
And then you feel guilty because it's like, here this person is that's sick and I'm angry at them. In the grief and the fear and the anger and the frustration with each other and all of those things, we looked at you and said, tell us what to do. And you gave us some really good advice about how to treat her. Do you remember?
I told you not to correct her because that's hurtful and confusing. You know, she's just saying what she thinks is true. And to dignify her.
I heard you had a big day yesterday. Did you go to the hospital? Did you get an ambulance ride yesterday?
was yesterday.
I'm sorry I missed it. The day we took her to the facility, we were all there and we're just waiting around, and they'd done the intake forms. And I said to the nurse, "We've never done this before. Tell us how to do it well."
Yeah.
And she said, "Well, the family, it doesn't go well when the family didn't tell the person they were dropping them off, and then they just drop them off and leave."
Yeah.
And my eyeballs did what your eyeballs just did.
Really?
That happens?
Yeah.
That really happens?
She said all the time, "That's a dignity decision." And this is where theology, if we want to use that big term, this is where it has legs and walks around in your life. Mm-hmm. You know, I can read in Genesis 1 that God created man in his own image, in the image of God he created them. It's repeated there. That means that people have dignity because we bear God's image. Mm-hmm. And people march for that all the time.
Yeah.
Specifically when it comes to the unborn. And we should. We should never stop marching for that. But I had to face whether or not I believe that's true.
Right.
When my mom can't read her Bible anymore. Mm-hmm. When she can't pray anymore. Mm-hmm. When she can't talk to me about Jesus anymore. Mm-hmm. When she can't do anything for herself anymore. But she has dignity because she's as made in the image of God as she ever has been. And you've helped me live that out, and it's helped the anger dissipate.
Oh,
hasn't
glad.
Helped the grief, because it's so sad to watch somebody who's made in the image of God fail. But you've helped me dignify her at every step. For the person listening, can you speak to that dignity piece when it comes to somebody who can't take care of themselves anymore? What does dignity look like?
It looks like acceptance, that this is where they are, and we're going to love them where they are, and they don't have to be any different. And so it's a matter of dealing with your own grief about the sadness of what you're seeing, and then it's accepting it. Mm.
There is a cycle of grief with dementia that is very different than other kinds of grief. In my heart, I go to my mom's funeral every week.
Oh, do you?
There's not flowers. It's not like that. It's not like I have to feel the grief every time, but that woman's not my mom. I knew my mom loved me every second of my life. No, that wasn't true with my dad. In broken people, you have, do they really love me? Not my mom. My mom has loved me my whole life and wanted me my whole life, enjoyed me, wanted to be in my presence, and that woman, who is my mom, but that's not true. She doesn't know if I'm there or not. She doesn't miss me if I'm not there. So it's like watching the brightest light extinguish slowly. Yeah. And we live in this little town, 3,000 people. The town is grieving. Everywhere I go, people find me. This has happened to my oldest son yesterday at a track meet. A woman came up to him and said, "How's your Gigi?" And Eli said, "She just had a seizure." And the woman burst into tears and pulled Eli into her arms and said, "She was my kindergarten teacher. I'm a teacher because your Gigi was a teacher." That happens to us over and over and over. So people are going to talk about how much they miss her. What do you think you'll feel when she's in glory?
I'll feel happy for her and sad.
Yeah.
Your mom has always been such a happy person.
Mm-hmm.
She's just... we've laughed so much and had so much fun over the years, and she's just joyful.
Yeah. Your mom was amazing. She did deserve the love and attention that's being lavished on her. What about the daughter listening to this who has a mom or a dad who doesn't deserve it?
Mm. They're still made in the image of God.
Mm-hmm.
And they still are worthy of dignity and respect.
Mm-hmm.
And an interesting slash hard slash good part of this journey for me has been watching the other people in my mom's unit and the way their families treat them. And I don't know their stories, but I just know that all of them flourish under attention and being treated with dignity and being loved on.
Mm-hmm.
And when we got the diagnosis, I was in the office with the neurologist, and I said, "Okay, who does well? Okay, we know what the title is now. Tell me which patients do really well." And he said, "The patients that have this." And he was talking about those of us who were also in the room and our commitment to walk it with her. Mm-hmm. And, you know, my mom, I've told you the best of her, and it's all true. The disease has brought out some really horrible parts. My mom has never been violent towards me, even a little bit before she got sick. She has been violent towards me during this. I've been hit. I've been kicked. My mom never called me a name, and since she got sick, she's called me stupid. It doesn't matter if you're 40 years old or 4 years old. If your parent calls you a name, yeah, it lands like a nuclear bomb.
Yeah, it really does.
And so I don't mean she deserves it because she's been wonderful. I mean she deserves it because she's made in the image of God. She has value. But no matter how your parent has treated you, this is a hard truth to live out. Mm-hmm. They were made in the image of God, and they have value to God. And because they have value to God, they are worthy of us treating them with some level of dignity.
What a beautiful reminder of the value of human life at the end of life, as well as its beginning. Aaron Davis and Tippi Duncan have been talking about how this principle plays out in their relationships with Aaron's mom. If you're facing a similar situation or you know someone who is, would you see how you can put some of the things we talked about into practice? Now, I've been telling you about the video version of this Deep Well series. I'm going to tell you again because I want you to see how Aaron's mom responded to Aaron and Tippi singing. It's precious. Find the video at reviveourhearts.com/thedeepwell. We would like to help you grow in the way you invest in other women, just like Tippi has invested in Aaron and me over the years. There's a book called Spiritual Mothering by Susan Hunt. I highly recommend it. The book will give you more of a heart to invest in other women and show you how to begin doing that. We'll put a link in the transcript of this episode so it's easy to find. Again, get a copy of Spiritual Mothering at reviveourhearts.com using the link in the transcript. In this season of The Deep Well, we've heard about Tippi Duncan's sense of adventure and active lifestyle, even in her 80s, but she's aware that changes may be coming. As she visits Aaron's mom, Tippi knows she herself might experience cognitive decline. On the next episode, we will see how Tippi is trusting God, even when the future is uncertain. The Deep Well with Aaron Davis is part of the Revive Our Hearts podcast family, calling women to freedom, fullness, and fruitfulness in Christ.